Let's turn to back to Romans chapter 11 this morning. Romans chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars. I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to understand the word of God today. Help me to be a blessing. Lord, you know every heart. If there's one here that's lost, we pray for their salvation. If there's one that listens to the message on the website, we pray for their salvation. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to understand the word of God so that we might tell others, Lord, that we might have the surety that we need to face an uncertain world. Lord, there's a lot of uncertain things in this world and in our nation today, but there's one thing that is certain. Jesus Christ is the same today and yesterday and forever. So, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, help us to put our faith and trust in you and not just believe on you for salvation, but believe on you in every aspect of our life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, there's a lot of things that I could probably preach on. I talked in the morning in the Sunday school this morning. I talked about the fact that God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises despite how foolish men are and how unstable men are and how fickle men are and how just wicked men are. God still keeps his promises. Keep his promises to Israel, and if he'll keep his promises to the nation of Israel, he'll keep his promises to us. Amen. That's something we need to understand. But there's this is a section of scripture I like to visit at least once a year, and today's that day. And so he says, he asks the question, he says, has God cast away his people? And the answer is, God forbid. And he's talking about Israel there. If you read Romans chapter 9, 10, 11 is focusing on Israel and the nation of Israel versus the Gentiles and the gospel and what everything that means. But he said, God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. And he says, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. And then he says, watch ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, talking about Elijah. He said, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel. Elijah thought he was the only one left. He said, Lord, he said, they've killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. God told him, no. He said, I've reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. You know, sometimes we might feel all alone, but there are Bible-believing Christians in this world, in this area, that we can find. It's a shame that I think part of the one thing the devil wants to do is keep us separated. You heard when Brother Larry was reading the letter from the Klaus family, how the restrictions that they're having to operate in Germany. They can't even get up the same congregationally. You know, that special that they sang for us would have been outlawed. And things like that. So we see that, and in a lot of ways we're fortunate, but You know, it's almost like the devil's trying to push us apart. And isn't it amazing that the world's emphasis and their anger and their concern has been focused more on churches than they have schools and grocery stores and sporting events and everything else. I mean, you can all get out in the sporting event and go somewhere and everything, run around, but boy, they've been wanting to put the stop to churches meeting. Because this virus is so smart, it knows if you're a Christian or not, evidently. And it's just foolishness, isn't it? But it's just like the devil. It's like what he does. So it's not something I'm going to worry about. We'll just go on and we'll do what we're supposed to do, and we'll obey the Lord, and we'll do our best to obey the government and like we're supposed to, and be good citizens and good testimonies in that regard. But if it comes to the point where the government says that you can't do something that God commands us to do, then we're just going to stay with God, but put everything in His hands in that regard. But he said, I've reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. He's talking about Jews. At his time, there are Jews that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They were there. So God didn't shut Israel off from individually from believing on the gospel, but he did. They did suffer because of the rejection of Christ. Yet nonetheless, individual Jews could be saved, as it is today, I might add. Hadn't changed. Now, here's the point. And he says that there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Now, we can get into a long study on election. And a lot of people say, you know, the Calvinist theology, particularly the tulip theology of election, of unconditional election, we could talk about all of that. But, you know, the sad thing about it is, you know, Jesus Christ is elect. And there are elect angels. And there's a lot of the Bible talks about election and things like that. And the sad thing is, they seem to people that talk about election and talk about, you know, basically unconditional election and irresistible grace and everything like that. They talk in terms of election of man one way, but then the election of the angels in another way, an election. So you have different definitions of election. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about that, because I want to focus more on the next two verses. But I will say something about that. When you want to talk about election, you need to be consistent when you study about that. Be consistent. Election is a biblical doctrine. And there's a right doctrine and a wrong doctrine, just like anything else. And along with anything else, we let the Word of God interpret what election means. We don't let one group or one person define that for us. So we could spend a long time talking. I won't do that. I've taught on that many, many times of what election means. If you got a question about that, I'll be happy to sit down and talk to you about it and take the time to walk through the Bible. And of course, we'll get back around to teaching that. I wanted to focus on that. He said, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Now that is important when it talks about salvation. Salvation, we know in the book of Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Faith in His blood, faith in His resurrection, faith in who He is. All right? The simple fact is that we're saved by grace through faith. He said, well, preacher, I know that. Well, good, I'm glad you know it. But you need to be able to explain it to other folks as well. You need to be able to show people the truth of that. And if there's one thing we get from this passage of Scripture, is that you cannot mix grace and works. One of the big problems that our Baptist forefathers have always had with Roman Catholicism is they add mixture of works and grace. The idea that keeping certain sacraments and certain things impart grace to the soul and therefore they are necessary for salvation. And the reality is that when the Bible talks about grace, it's not talking about any amount of works. God's grace will produce works. Now we have another side of this coin, that those that turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, those that say, and I actually knew a man who made a profession of faith, and he said, well, once saved, always saved, I can do whatever I want to do. No, that's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. If the grace of God has touched your soul, it's going to make a difference in your life. Genuine grace. We have a lot of grace preaching today that they don't have. They don't talk about repentance. They don't talk about faith. They don't talk about anything. They just talk about God's grace, and they talk about grace in the sense of it really doesn't matter how you live. What I'm not saying, and the simple fact I'm trying to tell you is genuine grace will make an impact in your life. You don't work to get saved, and the Bible makes it clear about that. But genuine grace makes a difference in your life. That's what the grace of God is all about. And if we live by faith, if you live by faith in God's Word, it will make an impact in your life, in your behavior. So something we need to understand. But you cannot mix grace and works. You can't add anything to what Christ did. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, when He by Himself purged our sins, He sat down. That tells me He purged our sins by Himself. That means nobody else had anything to do with it. People get confused in this issue, and they try to mix the things, and people will say, well, Brother John, what about the book of James, where he talks about Abraham being justified by works and Rahab being justified by works? He's not talking about being justified by God, before God. He's not talking about being justified before God. That's talking about justification before men. And the truth of the matter is, James is saying exactly what I just said, that if you have genuine faith and genuine grace of God, it will affect the way you work. But God knows your heart. God doesn't need to see you do anything to know whether you truly believe or not. God doesn't need your works to know whether you're repentant or not. He knows your heart. All these things are matters of the heart. Do they produce works? Absolutely. But works don't produce them. Works don't produce grace. Grace produces works. Works don't produce faith. Faith produces works. works that are done in order to justify ourselves before God, the Bible makes it clear, are what it says in the book of Hebrews, are dead works. And so when we look at the Scriptures, if we walk through the Word of God, let's take a little trip through the Word of God and just focus on that one thing. If you turn to the book of Acts chapter 13, they're preaching, and let's see. Oops, I'm in the wrong chapter. Hang on, I'll get there in a minute. I wrote down the wrong chapter on there. No, I wrote the right chapter, it's the wrong verse. Let's go to... let's go back to... let's go all the way back to verse... let's go to verse 22. And when he had removed him, talking about Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before of his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God hath raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, to this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known therefore unto you, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. So he makes it clear in the preaching there that faith in Christ would justify people from what the law of Moses could never justify them from. If you go on, and obviously Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then it goes on, it says, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That we that are saved are supposed to do good works. God's will is for those that have believed on Christ to do good works. But we don't do our good works to get saved. Alright? We don't mix works and grace. Romans chapter 3, if you would. Romans chapter 3. And, Romans chapter 3 and verse, I'm going to look at number 2. That's why. why I can't do it. I keep getting in the wrong place, all right? Romans chapter 3, and in verse 20, he says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, and declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth on in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And then Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled we should be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Makes it very clear, doesn't it? Galatians chapter 2, if you would. Galatians chapter 2, if you would. It's always an amazing thing to me when I read the Bible and I find people that teach a mixture of works and grace. And you know, the sad thing about it is we need to make sure that we don't order our lives as people that believe in works versus grace. There's some people who will not get their hearts right with God because they say, well, you know, preacher, I try, but I just can't live it. Well, you're never going to live it unless you let God live through you. You're never going to live it unless you submit yourself to the will of God, unless you're willing to believe God. And it's going to start by believing that God can forgive you. 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible for the believer, is it not? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Sad thing for people to take the message of God's grace out to a world and then won't apply it to themselves. Get their hearts right with God. Won't humble themselves before God. Won't believe God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed on in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Verse 21 says, I did not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 24 of that same chapter, it says, matter of fact, let's go back to verse 21. It says, is the law against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Can't make it any clearer, can you? Then we go to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, in verse 11 it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And then Titus chapter 3 and verse 4 says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now folks, listen to me very carefully. I could spend much more time going through the Word of God and quoting Scriptures to you about God, that salvation being by grace through faith. You cannot mix the two. And what this world needs to see is that salvation only comes when you put your faith entirely on the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work at Calvary's cross. There's nothing you can add to it. There's nothing you can take away from it. That is what it is. You say, well, preacher, I know that. Well, good. Why don't you tell anybody? Well, preacher, I know that. Good. Why don't you live that way? The charge that we have as Christians is for God's grace to make a difference in our lives. For us to make use of it. To not frustrate the grace of God. To allow God to make a difference. To have a message to take out to a lost and dying world. Have something to show for our salvation. Yeah, we have a hymn book. And this hymn book has a lot of... about time to get new hymn books because they're about falling apart, don't you think? But the simple fact is we have a hymn book. And these hymn books, these people that wrote these hymns, they write out of their experience. That's one reason the music you listen to makes a difference, because the world writes out of their experience. God's people should write out of our experience with Christ. So the music you listen to makes a difference. It fills your heart. But the simple fact is these were written by people who knew of the grace of God. And their lives bore it out. Were they perfect? No. But they knew the grace of God. God give us more Christians like Fanny Crosby. God give us more Christians like many of the people who wrote these hymns. Not all of them we would necessarily agree with on every little point of doctrine, but So one thing they did understand, they understood the grace of God. They understood the grace of God. It made a difference in their lives. They wrote and they spoke and they sang and they lived as people whose God's grace made a difference. They may have had it a little easier than we do these days. They didn't have the pervasiveness of the media trying to make everybody afraid to do what's right. They might have had it a little bit easier in some ways, but in other ways they didn't have it near as easy. They didn't have the luxuries that we have. They didn't have the life that we have. They worked harder than we do. Truth, isn't it? They had their battles to fight. They had their issues with governments and the lost and everything, just like any others. We got missionaries we send across the sea and go places where don't have the liberties that we have. You know, we sit there and talk about the things that are happening to churches out in California because of the government there and the way they're doing it, but we're not affected by it here. It's not nationwide, is it? But we have missionaries that go places where they have restrictions on them that you and I don't even dream of having to deal with. We would be angry to have. But they go there and serve the Lord and live for the Lord and try to win souls. However our nation goes, however our government goes, our job doesn't change. I've said that many times. God's grace doesn't change. And God's love doesn't change. And God's mercy doesn't change. God's holiness doesn't change. God's promises don't change. God does not change. That's what we ought to be focused on. I don't know about you, but you know, we've got some great opportunities to do some wonderful things. If Lord willing, if everything goes to plan, we're all going to have the opportunity to put the gospel in people's hands here again. We got it now. We have tracts, but we're going to have the church tracts, the ones that are specific for the church. That's not it. That's a missions card. I mean, find the church tracts. We'll have these church tracts. We'll have plenty of them, all right, to give out. We're getting that point where things are opening up a little bit. We can give out gospel tracts, get them out to people, and we ought to do that. We ought to take them wherever we can, give them out to everybody. If you give a tip, give a gospel tract. If you go eat. If you go to the grocery store, speak politely to the person behind you there and invite them to church. Put a gospel tract in there and find ways to get the gospel out. So we have clean hands before God, and then we're going to send them out, these mailers out, and I hope you'll pray over them and the gospel will go out to every household in this area. Let me ask you a question. Are we going to do this believing God's promises, believing in the God we serve? Are we going to believe in His grace? Sister Pat, when you first met me, did you have any idea that I'd be a preacher? That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. Makes a difference in people's lives. But long before God ever called me to preach, it made a difference. It changed who I was. My wife can bear witness to that. My mom-in-law can bear witness to that. Folks, folks, God's grace is wonderful. It's marvelous. You can't mix it with words. Otherwise, you kill it. And if we're not seeing the grace of God manifest in our society, in the life of people that profess to be Christians, what does that tell you? Tell you something's wrong with the way they perceive grace, isn't it? Grace is all of God. You can't mix it with work. It's grace. Or works, not one or the other, not both. If it's by works, then you're lost. If you get to the point of saying, well, I'll go to heaven because I'm a preacher, I'm a deacon, I'm a church member, I've been baptized, I'm not like other people. You don't understand what grace is. Matthew chapter 7, what did Jesus say? And he shall come unto me that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And what's the answer of the Lord to him? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. They come to God on the basis of their works. They're not like the publican that smote upon his breast and wouldn't even look up to heaven and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's not their attitude. And you get into Revelation chapter 5 and you want to, you would think that if anybody was going to take anybody's word about it, you take the word of the people that are in heaven, right? How would you, I can tell you how to get to heaven, and I can understand you doubting me. I can understand you how you doubt me. But if you're reading the word of God, when I read the word of God in Revelation chapter 5 and I look at the people that are in heaven, they say, worthy art thou to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. People that are in heaven, they're not saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? No, they're leaning. They're not talking about their works. They're leaning on grace, aren't they? Thou wast slain as redeemed us to God by thy blood. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. In his own blood, the scripture says. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, if you would. Father, thank you for this. I just pray you'd help us to just rejoice over the fullness and completeness of your grace. I pray you'd help us to not rely upon anything. Let the grace of God change our lives to where we could become pleasing in your sight and continue to grow in grace and grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's one today that's lost, that somehow thinks that they're going to go to heaven because of who they are or what they've done, Lord, I pray you'd open their eyes and let them see that salvation is only through the shed faith and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Lord, we're thankful that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, work in every heart, we pray. Help us not to look at ourselves, but look to Jesus. Help us not to trust in ourselves that we're righteous, but to trust in the righteousness which comes by the faith of Christ. Help us to allow you to do the work that you desire to do in our lives, where we can not only tell others about the grace of God, but be testimonies of the grace of God. Help us to that end, we pray. And we thank you for all you've given, for your love, your mercy, and your kindness. We ask you to bless us.